We are on class 201, and we're in the 30th chapter of the book of Exodus, We Elei Shemot means "and these names." Exodus is a Greek name for the book of Exodus, or We Elei Shemot. The Hebrew name, it says, "and these names." And the Hebrew, or the Greek, it talks more about the Exodus from Israel out of Egypt. So let's read this. It's going to talk about the furniture of the tabernacle, and we're going to talk about the altar of incense. And I'll walk over here. The altar of incense is right here before the curtain that goes in the Holy of Holies. There's the table of showbread. There is a candlestick. And there, inside of that, is the Ark of the Covenant. So now we're going to go back and look at this in the 30th chapter. This is very exciting to me, all of this here. It's all talking about Jesus. Every one of these things is talking about Jesus. All of this is a type of Christ. And the tabernacle also is a type of the church in the world today. In the wilderness, the church in the wilderness. Because that's what it is, we live in a wilderness. "Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. You shall make it of acacia wood." Again, it's made out of acacia wood. Acacia wood typifies what of Christ? The humanity of Christ. "And its length and its length shall be a cubit," that's 18 inches, "and its width a cubit," 18 inches by 18. "And it shall be square, and its height shall be 2 cubits. 2 cubits. "And its horn shall be of one piece with it," the horns on the altar. "And you shall overlay it with pure gold on its top and its sides and all around, and its horns you shall make a gold molding all around for it." Now, the the horns of the altar is where they would put the blood of the offerings, and also where people would go for mercy. Mercy. The horn is a type of strength. Jesus Christ came in this world when he came here as a servant, as a slave to us, for us. The God of glory became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the Son of God, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. "No one has seen God at any time," John 1:18, "but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, inseparable, that one has led himself out." John 1 and 1, it says, "In beginning," that's the absolute beginning when nothing else was, only God. "In beginning kept on being the Word," or the Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. And then the last sentence in that verse, "because Jehovah kept on being the God." The Jehovah kept on being the God, or the Word kept on being the God. Jesus never ceased being God when he was on this earth. He was God and man. And this tabernacle, this altar of incense, we come to the Father through Jesus Christ's name. The altar of incense, we come to God by the power and by the merits of Jesus and Him only. It says, "You shall make 2 gold rings for it under its molding. You shall make them on its 2 sides and on the opposite sides, and they shall be holders for the poles which to carry it." You're going to carry all of this equipment by these poles, and they'll have golden rings on it. "And you shall make the poles of," again, "acacia wood." Jesus carries us, doesn't he? Every day he carries us. "Make the poles of acacia wood," his humanity, "and overlay them with gold." Jesus is humanity, and yet he's divine. He never ceased being God. "And you shall put this altar in front of the veil." We have access to the very throne of God by the merits of the person of Jesus Christ. "That is near the Ark of the Testimony. In the front of the mercy seat, that is over the Ark of the Testimony, where I will meet with you. God said, I will meet with you there. I will meet with you there. Now, let me tell you a little something here. The Bible is inspired. Absolutely. There aren't any mistakes in the Bible, but sometimes there are intentional things in the Bible that we don't know. And one of them is in the book of Hebrews. Since we're talking about, in the book of Hebrews, it says the altar of incense was in the same place that the Ark of the Covenant was, which is not true, but that's what the what we call the Hellenistic Jews believed. And so he put it there, and that's probably why that it's in the book of Hebrews, because I believe, and many other people believe, that Apollos wrote that book. Apollos, and he was a Hellenistic Jew. He wrote the book of Hebrews in highest classical Greek. But yet, you see that little bit of discrepancy there. Not that it's not inspired, but that's what he believed. That's what they placed the Ark of the Covenant and the altar of incense. The altar of incense is before the veil, in front of the Ark of the Covenant. There I will meet with you. We come to God through Jesus Christ, by His merit, by His blood, by His devotion to us. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it, and he shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps. Now, in the lampstand, in that, there's the only way you could see inside of that tabernacle, it had a light. The only way we can understand God's will for us today is through His Word and by the light enlightening us through the Holy Spirit. But the Word of God is our full, just, it is our rule of faith and order. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that in all reality because it portrays Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that because Jesus is a creation of God, not God. My Mormons, Jesus is a elder brother to them because their idea of God is man. Adam was the first man and the first God over this universe. And they want to try to be like him. They want to be a God too, every male. And they want to have universes and they want to have children to populate them. But the God of the Bible is not the God of the cults. The God of the Bible is not even the God of Catholicism. The God of Catholicism is unreachable. You've got to go through him through a priest, which absolutely puts Jesus out of the way. And then you pray in the name of you pray to Mary. This is not good. It's totally destroying the order of the Godhead. Now Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it, and he shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps. And then in this candlestick here, there are cups in that candlestick up here, and they would put wicks in there, like linen, like you have a wick in a lantern. You would have a wick in a Coleman lamp, not a Coleman lamp, but a kerosene lamp. You all have these wicks in there, and you light the wick. And when they run out of oil, you have no light. Because the wick will just burn itself out. You shall trim the lamps at twilight in the evening, and he shall burn incense there, and shall be a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer any strange incense upon this altar. There is no mixture of works and grace, like your Armenian brethren. There is no mixture of works and grace. It is by grace only. Don't bring an angel here. Don't bring a statue of Christopher or whatever you bring, not Mary, not Jesus, whatever. It says, you shall not burn strange incense upon the altar, and that's exactly what happened to Aaron's sons. They got killed. Now, that'll be a lesson to every cult and ism in the world. You shall not burn any strange incense upon this altar or strange fire. or burnt offerings or meal offerings, and you shall not pour out libation on it. You do what God says. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not a mixture of what you can do. It's not a mixture of some great Bible teacher or whatever that tells you to go away, that Jesus isn't the way. You know, that's just one of the ways. It's not Buddha. It's not Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith, Mary Ellen White. And Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. And he shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering of the atonement, Yom Kippur. Once in a year, throughout your generations, it is most holy to the Lord. Kadesh HaKadoshim, most holy. This was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And the Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, when you take a census, that's numbering the people of Israel, when you take a census of the sons of Israel to number them, each one of them shall give a ransom for himself. Every man shall give a ransom for himself. These are the children of Israel. They belong to God. The Lord said, all the males, every firstborn male belongs to me. They had to make an offering for it. The smallest offering or the least offering was two turtle doves, or a lamb or a ram or bullock or whatever, according to your ability. Shall ransom for himself the Lord, and when you number them, that they may be no plague among them when you number them. Now, God didn't want to number them for in strength. He wanted to number them, that each and every one of them would make an offering. David numbered Israel to see how much strength he had. And God killed a bunch of them. And David sinned. That there will be no plague among them when you number them. And this is what everyone who is numbered shall give, a half a shekel of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And the shekel is 20 gerahs. Half a shekel as a contribution to the Lord. And everyone who is numbered, and this is basically what happened in the days of Herod, remember? When Jesus' mother and Joseph went to Bethlehem, they had to go there and they had to be numbered. They wanted a census of them to find out how many Jews were in the land. And everyone who is numbered from 20 years old and over shall give the contribution to the Lord. The rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less than the half shekel. And then you give the contribution to the Lord to make an atonement for yourself. Now, this offering here is different than the one that when you, I want you to understand that when you're born, if your parents couldn't give a lamb, they would give a turtle doves or a whatever. This here is a ransom for your souls. The ransom for your souls. And you shall take the atonement money from the sons of Israel, and you shall give it to the servants of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the sons of Israel before the Lord. And to make atonement for yourselves, your souls is what it says, make atonement for your souls. Now the offering that we come to God with is not money. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. We make an offering for our souls. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and you shall make a laver of bronze. This bronze laver that's out here now. In the front, here is the altar, the sacrificial altar, the brazen altar, and there is the basin. The laver of bronze, this great big basin, this great big pot made of bronze. And with its base and bronze for washing, and you shall put it between the tent of the meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. Now this water is living water too. It's got to be running water. It can't be stagnant out of a cistern. It's got to be out of a well or a stream. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet from it. And when they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water, and they may not die. And when they approach the altar to minister by offering up in smoke fire for the sacrifice to the Lord. Now, let me tell you a little bit of something else about this. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in Jerusalem. I went into the Golden Dome, the mosque there. The rock underneath it was supposed to be where Abraham offered Isaac. And outside of that, now the Jews did this. Okay, this is a Jewish, this is what you do, going there without getting killed. But the Muslims, when they go into these places of prayer, they have to wash their feet and their hands. And there's a great big fountain out there, and you go around that, and they go out there and they wash their feet and their hands, and they go into the mosque barefooted. In all reality, this is all blasphemy to God, because this is the strange fire. This is the strange fire that can cause you death. And to them, it will cause eternal death. And when they go into the assembly of the meeting place, the tabernacle, they shall wash with water that they may not die. And when they approach the altar to minister by offering up smoke and fire sacrifice to the Lord, and they shall wash their hands and their feet that they may not die. And it shall come to be a perpetual statute for them, for Aaron and his descendants throughout their generations. The people of Israel never went in here. They never went through this. Only the priests. Now remember, Jesus said he has made us a kingdom of priests. So we're all like this. We all have a great responsibility in this world. And the gravity of that responsibility. We save people from a dying eternal hell by preaching to them and trying to lead them to the Lord, to the Spirit of God and His Word. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take also for yourself the finest spices of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and fragrant cinnamon, half as much, and 250 of fragrant cane to 250. And of acacia wood, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. Now, and you shall make of these holy anointing oil, and a perfume mixture, and a work of perfumer, and it shall be a holy anointing oil. As we come together in churches throughout the land, the Holy Spirit is there. Jesus is there. Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, and that means literally, that's a church. That's not two people or three people. Some churches are very small, like ours. And is a type of scriptural fellowship is what this is. And with it, you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony and the table and all its utensils and the lampstand and its utensils and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils and the laver in its stand. And you shall also consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. When you come to the feet of Jesus, you've become holy. Because He touches us and we touch Him with our hearts. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, and they shall minister as priests to me. And you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. And you shall not pour on any, you shall not be poured on anyone's flesh, is what it says. Not shall you take anything like it in the same proportions, because it is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Don't go imitate God's churches. You either become one of them, don't imitate them. There's only one way to come to God, and that's through the intercessor we have, Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever shall mix anything like it, whosoever puts any of it on a layman, a stranger, is what it says, shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices and shaites and onycha and galbanum and spices of pure frankincense, and there shall be an equal part of each one. Now don't try to imitate this, he said at home. God will kill you. And with it you shall make incense and perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. Separate, holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put part of it before the testimony of Hinnomini, where I shall meet with you, and it shall be most holy to you. Kadesh HaKadoshim. And the incense which you shall make, you shall not make it in the same proportion for yourselves. It shall be holy to the Lord. Don't go copycat this at home. Whoever shall make any of it like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people. Shall be cut off from his people. Our Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the types in the Old Testament that are for lessons for us today. Help us to not make the mistakes that Israel made, but follow you with heart and truth, and lend ourselves unto you for your honor and glory in the world today. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.